Finally tonight, a new four-part series, The Black Church, This Is Our Story, This Is Our Song, premieres on PBS tomorrow night. It's a sweeping history of religion, politics, and culture. Jeffrey Brown has a preview for our arts and culture series, Canvas.
In the time of slavery, it was a source of strength and survival. In the 20th century, it would spearhead a drive toward political and economic equality.
The church is the oldest, the most continuous, and most important institution ever created by the African American people.
Henry Louis Gates Jr., the noted Harvard scholar and host of PBS's Finding Your Roots, has been telling aspects of the African American story for decades. This, he says in his new series and companion book, may be the most important of all. Your
predecessors. It was a laboratory for the formation both of the identity of a New World African people. After all, there were 50 ethnic groups represented in the slave trade from Africa to North America, and they had to forge and form into one new people, the first truly Pan-African people. And secondly, it was a laboratory for the creation of Black culture. It's where people learned to read and write, because it was illegal to read and write. So through the King James Bible, people would memorize passages and repeat those passages.
There's a kind of tension from the beginning in the story you're telling about around Christianity being the religion of the enslavers and then becoming the religion of the enslaved, but also a means towards their liberation.
Absolutely. African Americans created a form of Christianity with a liberating God at its center, a redemptive force for a nation whose original sin was slavery. What Black people did was take the forms of Christianity available to them and refashion them in their own image.
The story, through several centuries, is told by leading cultural figures, pastors, and historians.
What enslaved people did in this new context was they attempted to merge and, you know, fuse these different worlds that they lived in.
At every point, the sacred mixes with the secular. You can see it in the struggle for legal rights and political power. From Richard Allen, founder of the African Methodist Episcopal Church, the country's first independent Black denomination, to Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. in the 1960s.
Nonviolent resistance is the most potent weapon.
And today, Pastor Raphael Warnock, now a U.S. Senator from Georgia.
He is the most recent example. Politics and religion have inextricably been intertwined in the history of the Black church. I think that they internalized and fashioned a form of Christianity that allowed them to believe that by and by, as Black people say, by and by, we would be free and we would be able to progress within American society.
Swing low, sweet chariot.
Central to that experience, music. From early spirituals to the popularization of gospel and its influence on so many Black musicians, like Aretha Franklin, who started out in the church.
The body of the spirituals is one of the great gifts to the collective corpus of world literature. You can't beat it. I mean, I'm old school. I like new church music. I do my best to appreciate it, but you can't beat the spirituals. Ezekiel saw the wheel way up in the middle of the air. Ezekiel saw the wheel way in the middle of the air. They did that over and over.
Gates doesn't shy from pointing to the Black church's own failures in discrimination, including homophobia and sexism. The series highlights the critical, often undertold role of women.
The backbone of the church has been Black women almost from the very beginning, but their role has been suppressed. One of my favorite examples in the story we tell is of Jerina Lee. And Jerina Lee goes to Richard Allen and says, I've been called to preach. And he says, I don't think so. He says, there's no role for women in the pulpit. She just stands up in her pew and delivers a sermon, and it blows everybody's mind. And Richard Allen says, you know what? I guess maybe you were called to preach.
On the Black lives on the forefront.
In our time, as many young people move away from organized religion and protesters again demand justice, the church faces a new challenge of relevance and vitality.
There was a very moving moment in there to me when Reverend Tracy Blackman is telling you about going into the streets in Ferguson during the protests. And she talks about holding a prayer vigil. And she says that halfway through, some of the young people said, "That's enough praying."
Well, I love that story. This is what she said in response, and I quote, "The Ferguson uprising was church." And I think that what we're seeing is that at each historical period in Black history, the church has been refashioned, not only in the broader image of Black people, but in the image of Black people at that specific time and place across generations. And despite all the trials and tribulations that Black people have had to suffer, the church has survived, it's grown, it's morphed, it's transformed, and we're still here.
The Black Church, this is our story, this is our song. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Jeffrey Brown.
So looking forward to watching that. And we have more online where you can find the stories of two more women who played vital roles in both the Black Church as well as the fight for civil rights in America. That's on our website, pbs.org/newshour.